evidence-based physical therapy is a hot topic, and joining us is an expert this week on just that subject. She's an author with her second edition out. Stay tuned. More of PT Talker. We'll be right back.
This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
And we're back. This is Jeff Worrell joining you for another edition of PT Talker. I want to thank everyone who is joining us today, especially the mates from Australia. Thank you for those kind emails. Yes, I do appreciate you listening, and I do appreciate you letting me know that you're listening. So hopefully everyone out there is finding the information helpful and productive as you try and make patients better. But joining us today, I'm really excited to bring you our guest today, Dr. Dionne Jewell. She is a physical therapist, DPT, PhD, board-certified specialist at the Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond, Virginia, and assistant professor. My goodness, Dr. Jewell, you've got great credentials, and you're now an author. So welcome to our show, first of all.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, we are delighted to have you. Second edition now of your book, Guide to Evidence-Based Physical Therapist Practice. Congratulations, first of all. How hard was it to come up with edition number two?
Well, I will say it was easier than the first time around, simply because I had something to work from. I was admittedly a little naive when I struck out the first time. I thought writing about something I teach every day would be an easy thing to do, but not so much.
Yeah. Now, evidence-based physical therapy, that is something that I hear the American Physical Therapy Association talk a lot about. It's in the vision statement. But your book, obviously there's a first edition, so this isn't a topic that's new to you. Do you find that it's gaining some traction or becoming something that the therapists out in the field are talking more about than previously, or is it just something I'm happening to notice?
No, it's definitely something that has gained some ground, both among our students, obviously, the people that we're training to be new physical therapists, but also among current practitioners. One of the other things that has occurred over the last several years is an effort to advance our degree to a clinical doctorate level. Mm-hmm. And so therapists who are already out practicing do have opportunities to come back and advance their degree if they were trained at a bachelor's or master's level. And through that, they've been learning about evidence-based practice. They've also been learning about it at APTA conferences and meetings and other continuing education opportunities. So it really has been gaining momentum, and I think you'll see it used much more frequently in clinical decision-making now.
Okay, now let's define it for our listeners. Evidence-based physical therapy, what is the core of the issue? What is it that the APTA is really trying to promote using that terminology?
Well, evidence-based physical therapist practice is really a triad of things. It's using high-quality evidence or the best available published evidence, but it's also integrating that with the clinical judgment and experience of the therapist and the patient's perspective about what's important to them and their recovery. So evidence is generally the objective component that we bring to our decision-making. And we critique it and evaluate it to decide whether or not it helps us make decisions about the individuals we're working with.
So would it be a fair statement then if I'm a clinician working in the field and there isn't actually a study to back up this treatment or this technique I'm using, but my experience shows that I'm helping my patient get better, you're okay with that?
Absolutely. Evidence-based practice is not cookbook medicine. It's not intended that a therapist take a study and immediately adopt everything that was done based on that study. This is very integrative with our experience and with the patient. This is a partnership with the patient. So the patient also has to value what's been found in the research. And if there's not research available, then the therapist still has to use their judgment about what will be the most likely tool or intervention to use that will produce a positive outcome.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought of it. I guess it would work both ways. Either you don't just automatically adopt a study, a technique that is, enhanced or that is promoted by some study, and it can certainly go the other way as well.
Well, I think, one of the things to recognize is that we have so many questions that we still have yet to answer in healthcare generally, in terms of the different types of people who suffer from different conditions and how their responses may differ to different types of treatments. Mm-hmm. And it's generally not possible for any one researcher to focus on that big a question,
sure.
This particular disease in every patient or this type of treatment with every patient. So we don't have answers all the time from research, and so we work with the data we have.
Okay. So your book now is meant to serve as a guide to therapists who want to incorporate evidence into their practice, and is it a how-to book on how to do that, or what's the purpose of your book?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I wrote this book in part because I'm teaching this material in our physical therapy program. I'm at Virginia Commonwealth University. We have both professional doctoral students and students coming back, therapists coming back for their DPT, and I'm responsible for the evidence-based content. And I had a challenge teaching it early on because there wasn't a book specific to physical therapist practice. It was mostly textbooks that were devoted to physicians or nurses. The books in physical therapy were much more oriented to people who want to become researchers themselves.
Yeah.
And they're phenomenal books. They're the books I was trained with many years ago. But they weren't necessarily geared toward the average clinician who is treating patients and needs to know how to use evidence.
Okay.
So that's why I wrote the book.
Perfect. So what would be some of the things that have changed from edition 2 since you wrote edition 1?
Edition 2, I've expanded a bit. When I wrote the first edition, there were chapters about critiquing evidence about diagnostic tests and about interventions therapists would use. I've added a chapter on clinical prediction rules, and I've expanded chapters on clinical measures and outcome measures would be some of the main differences that they'll see.
Okay. Well, I should mention for our listeners that you are a member of the Board of Directors for the American Physical Therapy Association.
That's right.
And so was your interest, how long have you been on the board?
I just was reelected for my second term, so this is my fourth year.
So fourth year. So your interest prior to joining the board was in this specific topic since you're teaching it and now writing about it.
That's correct.
Are you happy with the progress that's being made? Are you happy with how the industry is embracing the vision statement and incorporating physical evidence into physical therapy?
Well, I certainly think that from a philosophical perspective and a professional perspective, therapists around the country and really around the world, from what I can tell, understand the value of evidence-based practice. I think there are still some tremendous challenges in the clinical environment to putting it to use. There are productivity demands mm-hmm. that make it difficult for therapists to take time to search for evidence. There are technological challenges if your clinic doesn't have internet access and you can't search for the evidence. Most of the ways that we do it are internet-based. Then there are, for some therapists, the desire but the lack of training in how to critique different types of evidence and determine their strengths and weaknesses. So it's not for lack of interest. It's really finding solutions to the barriers that get in their way.
Yeah. But overall, do you see things getting better?
Oh, indeed. Absolutely. And, when I wrote the book, I really wrote it both for people who are my students, who are not yet physical therapists, as well as people who are practicing every day already. And hearing from them about journal clubs that they're having at lunchtime now, about books that they might keep or that are different articles that they found to work with patients about protocols that they are designing to try to improve care. Absolutely. I think there's definitely great progress being made, it's just a day-to-day challenge in today's crazy healthcare environment.
Yeah, and before we end today, what are some of the reasons that the industry should adopt evidence-based physical therapy? Are there insurance issues? Are there just society acceptance issues? What are some of the primary motivations for the APTA to adopt this, let's say, as their vision statement?
Well, there are a couple of things. I think the first thing to recognize is that if I'm alone in my individual practice, I practice at a free clinic here in Richmond, I see a very narrow set of patients, and they do provide me with information and data about what works and what doesn't, but the view is so narrow that I don't have a way to determine if, on average, an intervention is going to work with the same type of patient each time. Mm-hmm. So evidence helps me figure that out. If it's available, it helps me look at a bigger picture that has less bias in it if it's well-designed. So that's certainly one reason to look at evidence. The other reason is, as you alluded to, payers care about evidence for what works because they make decisions about payment related to that. And so we need to be able to justify for them why we choose to do different things in our plan of care as opposed to other things. And that's true for everybody in the healthcare profession, physicians, nurses, physical therapists, and so on.
So all healthcare professionals are going through this same kind of process?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. So it makes sense. All right. Well, very good. Well, thank you so much for taking your time to join us today. Now, is the book actually out, and how would someone get a hold of it?
The book is out. It was released just at the end of August. It is available through Barnes & Noble, through Amazon.com, as well as through the publisher Jones & Bartlett Learning.
Okay. All right. Perfect. All right. Dr. Jewell, thank you so much. Dr. Dionne Jewell, she is an instructor, assistant professor at the Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond, Virginia. You've been there, what, 11 years, I think you said?
I have, yes.
And also want to make sure everyone caught the fact that you are volunteering at that free clinic. That's just awesome. So, well, thank you again. Can't thank you enough, not only for joining us today on PT Talker as our weekly expert, but also taking the time to put the work and effort into a book like this that is just so important for the industry.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Well, everyone, you've been listening to the latest episode of PT Talker. This is a broadcast that we bring to you each week, trying to search out expertise in our field that will help everyone to be better physical therapists and hopefully help someone to get well today. And this is Jeff Worrell, your host. I've enjoyed being here with you and enjoyed talking to Dr. Jewell, and want to remind you that if you would like to hear previous episodes, you can find us at iTunes or go to our website at pttalker.com. This is Jeff Worrell saying so long for now.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.